home again in Indiana.
Catapult of propaganda. The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
Yet unofficial government agencies. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I am Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Welcome to the bunker. Welcome to the Missouri bunker.
Yes, soon we will be singing Back Home Again in Indiana.
That's right. We'll be in the Hoosier bunker.
That's right.
Hoosier mama bunker.
Hoosier daddy bunker.
Hoosier daddy bunker.
So we're looking forward to that. We'll talk about that in... Well, we can talk about that right now.
We can.
Yeah,
we just want to tell everybody, thank you for just giving us the time. So many people have emailed and said that you're happy we're back. By the way, just so you know, today is Sunday, what day of the week? 19th of November.
Yes, and for the time being anyway, we're remaining in the state of the third-ranked Missouri Tiger football team. That's neither here nor there. Just a little bit of civic pride, kind of required by local ordinance to mention that fact.
It is. It is indeed.
We'll see where that stands after next week when they play the second-ranked and hated Kansas Jayhawks.
You know, it's a good thing that's in neutral territory. Anybody who's listening to this, you live in Kansas, you live in Missouri, you understand why they have to play it in Kansas City.
Yeah. Same reason they play the Illinois game in St. Louis. It is sort of neutral ground. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. We got plenty to talk about that's of real importance here this week. So we are happy to bring you an hour of blather today because there are plenty of items in the news that we're going to dive into. I probably the thing that affects more people than anyone else, at least immediately, short run, is what's happening with the dollar.
You know, I have posted so many articles on that over the last few weeks at peeringintodarkness.com, and it amazes me how the mainstream media still isn't talking about it. It's all over the place. China's getting ready to dump dollars big time. They have been talking about it for a while. An old buddy of George Soros has just come right out and told people, if you're really smart, you're going to dump dollars. China just had in their newspapers and on television, Fox News Channel and everybody, they all have financial shows over the noon hour talking about where the market is that day. Well, China has that as well. And just a couple of days ago, their topic was, hey, let's all dump dollars. If you got any kind of brain at all, get them out of your portfolio.
Yeah. The government of China is taking it a step further and saying that it plans to, and this is the nice euphemism for dumping dollars, diversify our foreign exchange reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they hold 1.43 trillion, that's trillion with a T, in foreign reserves, most of it in dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They start dumping dollars in exchange for euros or rubles or whatever, it could have a real serious
impact.
They could
even just switch to the yuan. I mean, they've got enough clout, I think, that they could say, okay, we're going to have a yuan instead of a petrodollar.
We want, oil denominated in yuans instead of in dollars. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. The dollar, in case you haven't been tracking, and unless you really play the markets or pay attention, you probably don't know.
If you read peeringintodarkness.com, you know.
That's right, because Sharon does a really good job of editing that and making sure that those stories make it into peeringintodarkness.com just about every day. The dollar is at the lowest rate against the Canadian dollar, which incidentally is nicknamed a loony. That's because
not the Ron Paul, which we're going to talk about.
Yes,
not that I think he's loony. It's just that's a story coming.
That's the way he's perceived by major media. No, the Canadian dollar. It's at the highest value against the U.S. dollar since they quit a fixed exchange rate in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, basically, once they split denominating the Canadian dollar against the dollar in 1950, this is the highest value the Canadian dollars had against the U.S. dollar ever.
Everybody knows I'm about as old as you get, you know? And, I mean, I lived when you didn't fry with butter, you fried with dirt, because there was no butter yet.
And we were thankful for it.
We went uphill both ways to get that dirt. In my entire lifetime, and I have watched the news since I was a kid, my dad taught me to watch the news and to pay attention, and I just praise God for him so many times each day. he taught me to pay attention to what was going on financially in the world as well. And I do not remember any moment of time when Canada's dollar was stronger than the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. It is so weird to even think about that. I mean, well, you know, the books that we publish, just that. You have to always think, okay, if you pay $10 here, it's probably $12.50 in Canada.
Right, right.
Not anymore.
No. And when I was selling steel pipe prior to leaving the radio business in prior to leaving steel pipe for radio in the summer of 06, we were at that point still at about, it was about 60 cents Canadian for a dollar. I mean, it was still a pretty uneven exchange rate. And just over the last year and a half, the Canadian dollar is now worth more than $1 U.S. I mean, it's just really
Here's what amazes me. One of the many things that amaze me. China, of course, essentially is Walmart. Okay. I shop at Walmart, and it irks me to have to do it. But the sad thing is, and we'll get into more of this in a little bit during this conversation, because if you haven't figured it out, a lot of this is going to be financial. Why should you care about those dollars? Think about Walmart controlling much of what the average American is buying. Their prices keep going down. How long can China keep that up? How long can Walmart keep that up when the dollar is worth less today than it was a year ago, and yet the price for, you know, let's say a blouse,
pair of shoes
or a pair of shoes, a durable good item, or relatively, is cheaper today in dollars than it was a year ago, because you keep seeing those prices coming down and coming down. The one thing in Walmart that hasn't gone down, it's gone up, is milk, but then that goes up everywhere.
Many food
items. It's worse.
Sure.
Yeah. Food items have gone away. Again, we'll talk about that more. But China is artificially keeping those prices low, and they're doing it by beating up on their workers.
And here's the other thing. By continuing to value the yuan against the dollar, yes, the yuan is worth less against other foreign currencies than the U.S. dollar, but it keeps the price of U.S. Exports artificially high relative to Chinese exports.
Right. And China, we are, if you haven't figured it out, folks, and I think our listeners probably have, the United States no longer makes things. We're no longer a manufacturing nation. We pioneered that. I mean, Great Britain was a big manufacturing nation, and then we took over essentially turn of the century, and we were the world leader. We made the products. We provided even the farming. I mean, wheat went everywhere. We are consumers now.
That's correct. We were. It really was our industrial capacity that won World War II and the Cold War, but that is no longer the case. There are so many key components. When you get into high-tech manufacturing, even high-tech manufacturing, we don't make the things that we need anymore.
Well, the business owners live here, but the businesses are offshore.
The actual manufacturers. And you know how funny it is that in 1991, we looked at Ross Perot and thought he was a loon, come back to that word, for saying that giant sucking sound you hear is the sound of American business being pulled south of the border by NAFTA. We see now 15 years later, he was correct. But what's more, and what I don't think even Perot talked about, in discussions I've had with a professor of history who specializes in Latin American history and politics at Mizzou, that unions that are trying to form in Mexico are threatened by business owners there, many of whom are Anglos, that if they continue to try to organize, they will just ship those jobs to
China. And if China were to do it, they would just simply say, we'll ship them elsewhere, to India.
Or Bangladesh or someplace else. Or they'll just, you know, shoot them. I mean, China is not beyond, well, maybe they may not go that far. But
they
let's just say that there are business
than
practices in China that would not be tolerated here in the West. And sadly, by continuing to purchase goods that are artificially cheap at Walmart and other distributors, it's not just Walmart. I mean, heck, we went into a Cracker Barrel last week on our trip to Indiana, and we couldn't find anything in the Cracker Barrel that was made in China. Think about that. Americana is Cracker
Barrel. It's made in China.
Yes. All of these symbols of Americana that you find at Cracker Barrel are all made in China. We are financing. We are subsidizing this. We are subsidizing the continuing labor practices and health violations mm-hmm. and environmental abuses that are taking place in China mm-hmm. by continuing to shop. Now, have we changed our ways? No. Do we always pick up labels and look to see whether things are made in the U.S. before we make a purchase? No. I think we're going to be more aware of it from here on out. But the bottom line comes back to, where does this all lead in terms of the United States and its role as we get into the end times end game here? And this, I think, is just one more plank. Maybe that's not the right analogy, the right metaphor. But I think this is just one more thing that points to the reduction of the United States from its current status as the global superpower mm-hmm. to perhaps a non-player, which is why we don't see the U.S. in prophecy.
Exactly, and I think sadly that's the kind of behavior you see in history when a civilization is on the very last part of that civilization's mm-hmm. life, the downward spiral. That nation becomes right. a consumer nation and not a producer nation.
Right.
Even some of our farmers are moving south to
right.
Mexico.
Because they're finding, and even further south, all the way to Brazil and South
yes.
America, because they find that regulations here in the U.S. are onerous. Again, there's this NIMBY attitude that is being forced on.
Not in my backyard, in case you don't know what that means.
Yeah, that it just makes it impossible for small farmers. Or mm-hmm. Family farmers to compete with the big corporate conglomerates, Cargill and those types of corporations.
Well, there is a point of no return when you start down a certain path, and I honestly think, folks, we may have passed it already
yeah.
with NAFTA, because we are to the point now where we cannot afford to shop anywhere except for Walmart, unless, of course, you are a very wealthy person.
Mm-hmm.
In order to buy those shoes for your children, in order to buy those back to school, even just grocery shopping, you have to go to Walmart. China knows that. And mm-hmm. so I think that may be part of the reason that those prices are being kept low, but eventually they're going to have to go up. We are to the point where we're forced to be China's consumers. China, in order to save money, and the American business people that are part of this
mm-hmm.
cooperative effort, they're going to have that NAFTA superhighway to get those goods up in here. They're going to have to truck them along main routes. Of course, we know Mexican trucks are already in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I watch for them on the roads. All right, are you riding? I don't know the way mm-hmm. you drive. Are you American up there? Are you a Mexican truck? And the truck never talks back. I don't know. but I've seen stories about actual towns that are drying up, and sometimes it's literal. They're drying up because mm-hmm. the water is gone. We've had the terrible drought this year, which also feeds into the famine and the whole economic crisis that we're heading into. But these towns also, they're losing manufacturing jobs. Walmart has come in. It's closed the downtown area. There are no jobs there anymore.
Yeah.
And so people leave. But it doesn't help if you don't have a major Walmart or a major Walmart distribution center in your town. You may not have an access to your town. As these roads are reconstructed and taken over by foreign companies, mm-hmm. they're not going to keep that exit ramp that leads to your town.
They don't need it.
They don't need it. And they don't want it because that exit ramp
right.
may lead to an alternative non-toll route that they don't control.
This is an interesting...
You and I talked
yeah.
a lot about that
We've
on the trip.
We've talked about this. In fact, I've talked about it on the radio as well with Jerome Corsi, who's he and Lou Dobbs are almost alone in the major media trying to beat this drum and wake people up that the Trans-Texas Corridor, which is Texas Route 135, I think,
mm-hmm.
is being built as a parallel highway to Interstate 35, which comes
right.
up from Laredo through San Antonio, Dallas, on up to Kansas City. But the contract that Cintra, which is the Spanish firm that will own and operate this road, made with the Texas Department of Transportation mm-hmm. is that if TxDOT does anything to draw traffic away from the Trans-Texas Corridor, they have to pay a penalty to compensate Cintra mm-hmm. for lost tolls. Now, the Trans-Texas Corridor is going to be a toll highway, and if TxDOT increases the speed limit on I-35 to make it a more attractive alternate, they have to pay a penalty. If they build another highway that would draw traffic away from the TTC, they have to pay a penalty.
Let me just jump in here really quickly and remind everybody, the men and women who are on with Texas Department of Transportation, TxDOT,
mm-hmm.
not elected.
No, appointed by the governor.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Department of Transportation is doing the bidding of the Republican governor and the Republican administration in the White House to facilitate this this highway up into Kansas City. And here in Missouri, while our governor, Matt Blunt, has made some steps to enforce immigration laws, requiring that the state police do checks for immigration status when making arrests and things like that. He also, this past year, made a trip down to Mexico to pitch the Kansas City Smart Port to Mexican government officials down there.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, if I understand it correctly, now, again, I think it was last year about this time that I read through the Missouri law that was passed with regard to these private partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
If I understood it correctly, I'm not a lawyer, but if I understood it correctly, essentially any country, any entity can enter into an agreement on a private, public-private partnership as long as there's an intermediary who does reside within that state.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not overseen by any elected person. It's overseen by a committee.
Hmm. That is something we will probably see come into play as the states of Missouri and Illinois try to cooperate and collaborate on building
and
a new bridge
over the Mississippi. And they're giving
away
infrastructure,
yes.
Which to me, if it's anything, is homeland security.
Well, absolutely. The whole reason that Eisenhower ordered the construction of the interstate highway system was because he saw how the Autobahn system in Germany made it easier for Hitler to move material back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, if we ever are invaded, we should have a similar highway system to be able to move tanks and men across country at high speed. So that's why we built these highway systems. And now we've got the Indiana Toll Road now being owned and essentially a long-term lease, but operated by Cintra. The Chicago Skyway, same deal. The Pocahontas Parkway in Virginia, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trans-Texas Corridor, which is under construction now as a project that would be owned by Cintra.
I think there's also, what is it, the San Diego...
You're right.
Yeah.
There's a highway down in the San Diego area. And here in Missouri, I look for more public-private partnerships because our Department of Transportation chief here, Pete Ron, was responsible for a couple of PPP highway projects in New Mexico where he formerly worked. And the people down there don't know all the details. I just know that there are some people down there with some hard feelings about the way that came together in New Mexico. So I expect to see that. And plus, by the way, he was also a featured speaker at a symposium on public-private partnerships, financing infrastructure that was held earlier this year. Lots of investment bankers like Goldman Sachs and others as part of this deal, as part of that symposium.
What's happening is we really are forming a North American union, and eventually it will all be one Western Hemisphere union, or at the very least several regions that all be part of a world government.
Right.
That's all these treaties and agreements are. This is a way to get around the actual legitimate governments within each country.
And as we continue looking at the way the American currency and the American economy factors into this and how it's being manipulated in our view, and bear in mind that, you know, even though I've got a degree in economics, I've really put it to no good use at all since graduating from college.
You have. So, you think about this stuff.
I think about it, and I just try to approach it from a common sense perspective. I certainly don't pretend to be any kind of economic analyst or forecaster, so bear that in mind. We just try to read and use the brains that God gave us to try to make sense out of things. I did learn in college that a lot of economic theory, by the way, is based on models that have no basis in reality. So, you know, keep that in mind when you're reading and hearing from, you know, these gurus on the talking head.
Especially now,
shows.
The formulas that they're using figure out the national debt. Oh, well, let's not even start down that bunny trail. But.
Well, there was an interesting development, you know, moving from China to the Middle East, which is another major factor in the fate of the U.S. dollar, where OPEC ministers were gathered together for a meeting this past week, and accidentally, in air quotes, accidentally left the microphones on in the meeting room for about 45 minutes so that reporters were able to overhear OPEC ministers discussing the possibility of denominating oil in other currencies because they fear the collapse of the dollar.
Oil is sold in dollars now worldwide,
right.
Pretty much. I do not think for one minute that they accidentally left those mics on.
No.
They are far more careful than that. And that was their way of letting it slip out because, of course, what they said later is, we really didn't want that private conversation to be overheard and reported because we don't want to start a panic. We don't want to start people dumping dollars because of a rumor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a meeting at which all of the OPEC nations gather together. And bear in mind that Venezuela, Ecuador are also part of OPEC.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Saud al-Faisal was heard overruling a proposal from Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, that other currencies be considered as the currency of choice for mm-hmm. the sale of crude. And and Faisal, Prince Faisal, didn't want the word even getting out that they were discussing this because, you know, just like when Alan Greenspan would change the color of his tie,
mm-hmm.
you know, the market would react. Same sort of thing happens, but even to a greater degree. But what's interesting is that while they are publicly saying, no, we at least our Middle Eastern allies like Saudi Arabia are saying, no, we want to guarantee the spice will flow, that the oil mm-hmm. will flow. A little reference there to Frank Herbert and Dune.
Yeah.
That there are others within OPEC that are sending some mixed signals. For example, the oil minister from Bahrain, which is a major staging point mm-hmm. in the Persian Gulf for American Navy.
Isn't that vessels. Where the Fifth Fleet is?
You betcha. The oil minister in Bahrain says that oil, even though it's at $98 a barrel now, is undervalued because the price of the value of the dollar has mm-hmm. dropped so far. And Hugo Chavez, after this meeting, came out and said that, it's $100 a barrel, but it could double if the U.S. makes good on its threat mm-hmm. to attack Iran. So there are some mixed signals coming from Iraq right now, and of course that's not going to make investors very comfortable in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, all of that ties in. You know, the fact is that meetings are taking place. Treaties are being signed that have no input from elected officials,
mm-hmm.
and slowly but surely we are moving toward a one-world government. Prophecy is taking place before our very eyes.
Mm-hmm. Anything that moves the world and moves the world in general, and of course the United States in particular, seeing as how this is where we live, really catches our attention because as Christians, if you're a Christian, you understand the significance of one world government, of collectivism in terms of biblical prophecy,
mm-hmm.
because that is one of the goals of the Antichrist and the one world system, to bring us all under one ruler, which is what Nimrod tried to do back in the days of the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
And God made it pretty clear back then that that was not his plan for the world. And I am convinced that that's why the enemy wants to bring us back into that sort of a system. And I guess, you know, who's going to be at the top of that system? Him and his man. And again, that's all spelled out in prophecy. We can debate over specific interpretations of who and when and from where the Antichrist will come.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that model is, I think, pretty well established and pretty clear in prophecy, that we're looking at ultimately a one-world government. So when we start seeing these governments, rather these elites who are operating outside the bounds of government, working together to break down national sovereignty, especially again here in the mm-hmm. U.S. We can't help but talk about it because it is such a big part of the end times end game of the enemy.
To me, it helps to, you know, if you have any sort of doubts about whether or not Scripture is true. Prophecy is one of those wonderful linchpins that you can go in there. You test it. God said in the Old Testament that if a prophet fails even one time,
mm-hmm.
he is not a prophet from Jehovah God. I didn't send him, God said. So you can kill him. It was a pass fail, win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
You either were or you weren't. If you weren't and you said you were, you're dead man.
Yep.
That's how it was. God takes prophecy very, very seriously, and for that reason, when we see God making a statement in the Bible that something is going to happen and we're to watch for it, then that's exactly what Derek and I try to do, and we do so by taking a peek at the news every day and mm-hmm. trying to see how does biblical prophecy fit in. And I'll tell you what, it's been pretty exciting. I've been at this since I was a teenager, and it's getting so exciting now, and I say that not because I rejoice in any, you know, kind of economic mm-hmm. downturn. That isn't it. Boy, I tell you, it's hard for us to pay bills and buy gas. But I rejoice because these things are temporary. Jesus Christ is going to be ruler of this world no matter what, you know, the Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want to call him, thinks. His man will be in place for a very short time. Jesus Christ is coming back forever.
Now, having said that, we just want to be clear that we don't pretend and we'll never set any timetables or try to predict any specific dates of any forthcoming events. I mean, Jesus made it clear that it was not for us to know the day or the hour. In fact, the very last words that he had spoke to the disciples when he was taken up, just before he was taken up in Acts chapter 1, made it pretty clear that, you know, this was not for us to know.
No, but I think you can know the season.
But right.
You can tell it's coming.
Exactly. But he did caution the disciples to watch for the signs and to be aware and to be ready. Now, to get more specific than just watching the signs and saying, yeah, things are coming about that were prophesied, that's one thing. But then to come out and say it is going to happen exactly on December 12th of 2012, you know, that is something we won't do because, again, Jesus himself said, I don't know. And we certainly aren't going to put ourselves in a position of saying, we figured it out where he wasn't able to do it. That's heresy.
Well, let me just back up. He's able to do it. He chooses not to know because the whole thing is, we'll not get into that here, but it's a picture of the wedding ceremony. And the groom goes away after the bride agrees to marry him. He goes away and it's often for a couple of years and he goes to build a home. And it was only when his father says to him, son, this home you're building for your new bride, it's ready. Go get her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, a picture of the rapture when he goes to get her. The son doesn't know until the father says. And that's why that's set up that way. But you can bet Jesus is all-knowing.
He is all-knowing. And you made it very clear. And you're right. And I thank you for clarifying that. While Jesus was here on earth, he voluntarily emptied himself limited himself.
Right.
And again, that takes us into a whole other discussion that theologians have been debating for 2,000 years.
It does. And there are so many other places we want to go.
Still
harping on the economy. And just to get back to the superhighway and toll roads and where we're going, Indiana's going to have I-69 that wants to cut up through Bloomington. We're going to have to get on top of that when we get over there. We'll recruit some of our Indiana listeners to feed us their information. Sintra partners up with companies like McCary and Zachary and others, and Sintra is owned by King Juan Carlos. If you didn't know that, you do now, and King Juan Carlos is one of those major players in the Illuminati. Big Bilderberger, I mean, you name it. His bloodline goes way back, so there are even those who look at that family and say that that family could be a candidate for producing possibly a prophetic fulfillment, but at the very least, King Juan Carlos, in you might say Spain is trying to take the United States back.
Yeah, interesting that there are those who would argue that we never really left the orbit of the British royals.
Mm-hmm.
So what you might be seeing here with the Spanish coming in and taking over infrastructure and the financial influence wielded here in the United States by the city of London and the bankers there is just a continuation of the struggle for control of North America that was taking place in the 16th, 17th, 18th
century. Isn't that interesting? It's all the same war.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, that British Petroleum, BP, the green and yellow and white stations that you see everywhere, they're closing down. A lot of their stores are going to sell. They're relinquishing their operation and ownership of these convenience stores that are part of the gas stations. We stopped at a number of them on our trip recently and probably will next week when we head back to Indiana. They are going to sell them, they say, to the franchisees. And
Now, the majority of these convenience stores at the BP stations are already owned by the franchisees.
Exactly.
But they're just
it's a difference
themselves.
Between big difference between owning a franchise and owning it.
So BP is divesting itself of the stores that are still remaining in its portfolio and selling it to whoever will buy them. Presumably the franchisees will get first right of first refusal.
Right, but that would be difficult. I see, okay, if you pay X percentage per month and a startup fee to be a franchisee.
Right.
Or you can give us several million dollars to buy the store. I'm not really sure what it would be, but I think it might be a hardship for some of these guys because I doubt that their profit margin is very high.
You wouldn't think. What's interesting, though, and you made this observation the other day, that while people will continue to need to purchase gasoline to get back and forth to work, we may economize to some degree, but short of buying a hybrid vehicle, which requires a big investment out of pocket, switching to walking public transportation, which isn't available to many people, or a moped, which isn't practical in many parts of the country, something like that, you're going to have to continue buying gasoline at about the same rate. However, you can make changes in your purchasing habits. And those convenience stores where you spend $5 for a gallon of gasoline and $2 for a candy bar or a soda, those are convenience purchases that you don't need to make. And those may become a much less profitable part of BP's business over the next couple of years.
I suspect that that's true. BP didn't get to be such a huge company.
No.
BP, by the way, that really does, even though they say it stands for, I don't know what they claim it stands for now, but it's British Petroleum, and it's based on a company that started up turn of the century with oil fields down in Iran, the Iran area. They have since bought up Standard Oil, which I think was purchased by Amoco and then by BP, something like that. Standard Oil was started by John Rockefeller. These are all big players, these folks, and if they're pulling out, then you know there's something up. So we've got China saying, dump dollars, BP saying, let's dump those stores.
And we're just looking at, just looking at the signs and trying to make some sense out of it. And the indicators just don't seem to be very good. I'm surprised that the American economy continues to limp along. There was news last week that the Fed and the Treasury decided to dump some ridiculously huge figure.
It was like $48 billion or so.
There's
a huge that's the number that sticks in my head.
New cash into the market in order to maintain liquidity.
Because nothing helps inflation like more dollars in circulation.
But since they quit reporting the M3, which is the supply of money in circulation, it's really harder to get a gauge on the true measure of inflation. We keep getting these figures from the Department of the Department of Commerce saying, "Oh, things are great. Inflation's in check and it's under control." It's like, really? Well, let's see. Gas is about double where it was a year ago. The gallon of milk is nearly double where it was. The cost of health insurance is, well, it's over
about
the 10 years we married, it's double
or
triple what it used to be. So, housing is double what it was when we got married. On what basis are they calculating these numbers? It seems ridiculous. It's just all I know is it's making it harder and harder for the average family to make ends meet. And as you say, we see Walmart and its commitment to continuing to squeeze prices down by squeezing suppliers, whether they're domestic or Chinese, and then paying its workers just enough that they keep coming back for the paycheck, but not enough that they actually can work their way up into a higher economic stratus. It's a 21st century version almost of the company store model of the coal companies in the late
19th
century.
It is feudalism, and that's the whole point of all of this, is to restore feudalism to the world.
Yeah. And
which is the company store.
So we'll see, and could very easily lead people to a situation where they're so desperate that when they finally come around to saying, you got to take that mark in order to even buy or sell anything, for security purposes, people will feel, I've got no choice. Got to feed my kids.
So what can you do? Well, let's talk about what people can do. First of all, here one thing we're doing, and it's for other reasons as well, but if you are not living near your family, if you are on your own, so to speak, if there is a way that you can get close to family, in other words, I think that families, or at the very least families of believers, need to get closer together. I'm not talking about starting a commune. I'm just saying try to be within, a short drive of each other. In other words, if the economy totally collapses, and I believe it will, at least you will have a support network. If you are out there by yourselves, and in many ways, Derek and I have kind of been out here by ourselves. So we're moving closer to family partly for that reason. Also, you can stock up. If you have any extra dollars, first of all, try to get out of debt as much as you possibly can. But if you have any extra money, say you've got a couple hundred dollars that you can spend each month, buy it $200 extra of groceries, non-perishables, and store them in a nice, cool, dry place so that they'll keep for a nice long time. If you can put them in sterilite containers, there are ways that you can store this. Steve Quayle talks about this a lot. I know that there are many people out there, and I respect these people, who say, put your extra money into silver and gold. that, you know, I may be totally, you know, down the road, they'll turn and say, you know, should have put it in silver and gold. Sharon, what were you thinking putting that into, you know, macaroni and cheese and peanut butter? You silly girl. Let's look at the story of what just happened in Evansville, Indiana.
Yeah, and Coeur d'Alene,
as an example.
Idaho. Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second, but I think that you have to have food. You can't eat that silver and gold. I know that there may be reasons why you would have something that is negotiable mm-hmm. to perhaps buy your way out of something or try to get out of, you know, if let's say we were invaded. Mm-hmm. You've all seen Red Dawn. Let's say you were invaded and we have to somehow bribe someone, mm-hmm. you know, if you've got gold. But then again, you might be able to bribe someone with toilet paper for all I know. It all depends on what's in short supply.
Right.
And what is considered legal tender. And that's where we're getting into the next story.
Yeah, that's that much, by the way, the barter and sale, the barter and trade based on supply and demand. I do remember that much from my economics degree.
You do?
Yeah.
I saw that light bulb go up over your head when I said it.
Yeah, it was one of those little, you know, one of those ones you can like stick up with a sticky on a wall.
I know, I love those.
The Liberty Dollar, the guy who produces the Liberty Dollar, which is a precious metal backed private currency, his offices were raided this past week down in mm-hmm. Evansville, Indiana, and Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Federal officials, investigators, went in and confiscated a bunch of documents, precious metals, and coins that were struck. You know, he's mm-hmm. been offering these out, these Liberty coins, as an alternative to fiat currency. The United States government issues a fiat, well, government, the Federal Reserve, which is federal only in the sense that
right.
that's its name. It's not really federal in the
you
sense that it's a
division. You need to explain fiat currency.
Yeah.
Those people who have heard that term, they're going, no, I know exactly what it means. But essentially, doesn't it mean it's not backed by gold
it's
or silver?
It's not backed by any precious commodity.
Okay.
Basically, the value of the dollar is whatever investors say it is.
Right.
In the same sense that the value of the Ken Griffey rookie baseball card that I own is worth what investors say it is. It's backed by just as much as the dollar bill in your pocket, the faith mm-hmm. of those who would mm-hmm. invest in it, you know, demand for it.
That's a good comparison. It's a good way to say
right.
it.
Right. I mean, if we wanted to switch today to the baseball card standard.
Oh, man.
We'd be.
We'd let Nicole keep those things.
Oh.
What were we thinking?
Well, we just wait till the toilet paper standard. We'll be in good shape.
I know.
So
there are lots of that.
That's what a fiat currency is, and that's why the dollar's value has been dropping. It's not backed by gold. You cannot go to a bank, unlike our grandfathers, who could go to the bank, or great-grandfathers, and exchange a silver certificate, a dollar, for $1 worth of gold or one mm-hmm. silver. You can't do that anymore. The Liberty Dollar was based on that old concept that these pieces of paper were just a more convenient way of exchanging mm-hmm. gold than walking around with this heavy metal in your pocket. Well, the gentleman who runs the company advised people through a web posting, and then it was later confirmed by the Evansville Courier News, WorldNet Daily, and a couple of other news sources, Associated Press, that his offices in Evansville and Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, were raided. The gentleman's name is, and this is just a, sounds like a gag, Bernard Von, spelled N-O-T, capital H-A-U-S, not house. Yeah.
And I know. It's awfully close to Nuthouse.
Right. And people have already, you know.
Yeah, I knew yeah. the minute I saw his name.
Yeah. Bernard von Nuthouse is what's called a monetary architect. And they've been offering these out. And there are people out there among the Patriot movement who've been trading these Liberty dollars and accepting them as valid currency.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I mean, these coins are struck from silver, from gold.
Exactly.
Now, interestingly enough, a number of these were struck with the with an image of Ron Paul on the coin.
Just recently.
Yeah,
they just came
recently.
Out.
So this, the officials, according to the news reports, seized more than $1 million worth of silver and gold in the raid in Evansville. 2 tons of coins featuring Ron Paul,
mm-hmm.
about 500 pounds of silver, 40 to 50 ounces of gold, as well as paper currency and other metals. Investigators in Idaho there seized millions of dollars more
mm-hmm.
worth of precious metals.
Yeah, if I understood, the paper currency was backed by the precious metals in
right.
Idaho.
Right.
By the way, at peeringintodarkness.com, that's currently our top story, the Liberty Dollar raid. And there, I've got a link there. The Ron Paul dollars now at eBay are fetching really high prices.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about this, and this is where we were going with the with our belief that perhaps stocking up on commodities rather than on precious metals is the way to go, mm-hmm. is that government investigators, we don't know if or whether any charges will be brought against Mr. Von Nothaus, but we see that they went in and regardless of the fact that no charges have been filed, they seized all the metal.
Exactly.
They seized the precious metal. This happened in 1933 when Roosevelt declared the bank holiday. Mm-hmm. They went around and confiscated gold and gave you paper in exchange.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do if you stock up on silver and gold and the government says, look, this stuff is not valid currency in this nation. You must surrender it and we will give you its value in paper money. Well, the value today, the value, you know, 5 years from now, if current trends continue, will be about mm-hmm. a third of what it is today. However, the value of the toilet paper is still the same. You still get the same number of uses out of a roll, you know?
Exactly.
The value of a 50-pound bag of flour is still the same. You can still make just as many pancakes or loaves of bread as you could, mm-hmm. You know, before the value of the dollar dropped. So that's our thought. The government may use some justification or rationale to come around and say, you got to give up these precious metals because we hear you're trying to pass it off as currency, and that's not legal. Only the U.S. government can do that, and so you're just going to have to give this to us, and we're going to give you this paper in exchange. Mm-hmm. That appears to be what's happened to Mr. Von Nothaus and his Liberty Dollar operation in Evansville.
Well, I really look for them to start rounding up precious metals again. There are some precious metals that are used in, quote-unquote, the war effort, like copper.
Mm-hmm.
There are other metals that, you know, may be used for other things. Gold is another item that
sure.
that are used in construction. I have read articles claiming that, and I'm not going to be specific because I can't really speak and say I know this article is true, but there are rumors about that the United States, someone in the United States, is removing gold from gold bullion from stores. Fort Knox is one mm-hmm. that is claimed about, and moving them overseas. There is supposed to be, if I understand it correctly, a law against doing this. However, George Bush, if I remember this right, and I'll look it up, if I remember correctly, a change was recently made to that law allowing for the gold to be moved if it is part of a security or if it's on loan to somebody. It was a very curious wording. But where I'm going with this is I think this is part of the plan. I really do believe there's a plan in place to bankrupt the United States. And if you can get all of the securities out, anything that's truly worth something mm-hmm. out, then that will help to, you know, expedite that.
Perhaps bankrupt the United States, but also perhaps in advance of some catastrophe.
That, you know, that's another thing. If you really want to put on that hat, you know what? We're going to have to get new little Hoosier tinfoil hats.
Yeah, true.
I want one with IU on it. But if you want to put that hat on, and I love your hat, I think that's something that's very possible. That there, let's face it, those put options and many other negotiations were taking place in the Securities Exchange Commission mm-hmm. just prior to 9/11. Somebody knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could be that that is part of some imminent event, and we keep hearing about the Hiroshima, the American Hiroshima.
Right.
There, and I don't know, but I do think that there is a plan to take the United States out.
Well, that fits with the discussion we had with Lynn Marzulli a couple of weeks ago about his book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, mm-hmm. and his belief based on information that we've also heard from Tom Horn that mm-hmm. Suitcase nukes have been smuggled into the United States and that we're just awaiting the perhaps black awakening
yeah.
that Russ Dizdar's talked about to literally raise hell on earth, specifically here in the United States for the purpose of taking us out of the way.
You and I really try hard not to be fear mongers because
no.
we don't believe in that. Fear mongering, selling fear, that's, I'm sorry, but that's not biblical. However, warning people,
mm-hmm.
that is biblical. And we try not to do it unless we really feel that there's some, I don't want to use the word proof because the truth is it's very difficult to find proof for things that are really are conspiracies.
Mm-hmm.
A conspiracy is two or more people get together and say, one or more.
I conspire with myself very often.
And when yeah. I get a message from myself, when two or more people work together toward an end that is usually detrimental to somebody else. The word conspire often has a negative connotation. You're up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
we try not to talk about that kind of stuff or to mention that we, you know, or to warn you or to say this may or may not. If we say it, you can bet that it's something that we have really watched for a while and it's really heavy on our hearts, or we wouldn't bring it up.
We do try to offer disclaimers, I guess, for things that we aren't certain about, because again, we are not.
We don't claim to be prophets at all.
Absolutely not. Now, looking at other events taking place in the United States, this is one that really caught our attention, coming from Boston.
And this actually goes in with the Liberty Dollar thing.
It does.
We'll explain that in a minute.
It does. Right. It ties together very well. Police in Boston are launching a program that would allow detectives, with the permission of parents, to enter homes without a warrant to search the bedrooms of children who are suspected to own handguns. Let me repeat that. Boston police want parents to agree to allow them entry without a warrant to search for weapons. Now, there are problems in many of our major cities with gun crime, and I can understand that desperate parents, desperate police might look for a way to expedite the process of getting guns out of the hands of kids in order to stop what's going on. However, the Fourth Amendment is pretty clear. The United States Constitution does not allow the government to come into your home and search unless they can produce a warrant showing specifically what they're looking for and the reasons why they think that you might have what they're looking for.
We fought a war over stuff like that.
Exactly right. This was considered really important. Again, it's the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Look it up. Read it. We'll put a link to it in the show notes at PIDradio.com. Interestingly, this is based on a program that was taking place in St. Louis during the time we were there, from 1994 to 1999. Now, we didn't live in St. Louis. We were in suburban St. Louis. But police would go to a home, and according to this pilot program or this proposal in Boston, plainclothes police, three of them, would show up at a home so as not to arouse suspicion. Now, what are the odds the neighbors aren't going to notice three guys dressed in suits suddenly showing up and knocking on a neighbor's door?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. But
if it was just two, they might think it was Jehovah's Witnesses. Or,
that's true.
Mormons
and
or something.
That might even, well, but be that as it may, the fact is they want parents to let them in without a warrant so they can go search their kids' rooms. They say that if they see other things in the house, say drugs, for example, if it's a small amount of drugs, they won't actually arrest. They might just confiscate the marijuana.
That's what they say, right.
That's what they say. But we need to go back to the Constitution. We need to go back to the Declaration of Independence, perhaps review the meaning of the word inalienable, as in inalienable rights,
mm-hmm.
meaning unable to be removed or mm-hmm. withdrawn or surrendered even. Inalienable mm-hmm. rights means you cannot give up those rights. And as Sharon pointed out, our ancestors fought a war against the most powerful nation mm-hmm. on earth to win protection from being unreasonably searched by the government.
Now, these police officers, they go to the home based on a tip mm-hmm. from a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's back to snitching. You know, I agree with Neighborhood Watch and things like that, but when you can set in motion an event where a person's house is searched without a warrant, just with a phone call, it's bordering on a really slippery slope, I think. And when if indeed Boston goes through with this and other cities follow suit, it will become more than just weapons.
They'll be looking for
pornographic material or gold and silver and fiat, you know, currency that's illegal. You got any of those Ron Paul dollars in there? Because those are illegal.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, has your child been vaccinated for school?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get into that in a minute.
I see you're a homeschooler.
Yeah. What are you teaching your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the government approved teaching material?
In other words, is this like the vampire clause? Once you say to Dracula, yes, you're welcome in my home, have you opened up your door to anything and everything he wishes to do?
Mm-hmm. It raises all kinds of concerns. And while the article that we read from, I think it's the Boston Globe, touches on concerns by, you know, privacy rights groups and civil rights activists. They don't really give that a lot of attention. They put more emphasis on the former St. Louis police detective who said, oh, the program worked well until the police chief who headed up the effort left. And and you know, then we quit getting tips from the neighborhood and we started relying on our own intelligence. But interviewed some people from the Boston community who said they think this is a great idea, including in a comment from the father of a young boy, 13-year-old boy, who was shot dead within the last few weeks, who thinks that this is a good idea too. Well, again, you know, our hearts, you know, bleed for parents whose children are taken from them, and we understand their desire for something to be done to put a stop to this kind of violence. Mm-hmm. But to open this door to the government and say, yeah, you know what? Coming in and searching our home without a warrant is okay.
Hey, call me old-fashioned, but you know what? I always felt like I had every right to go into Cole's room anytime I chose.
As a parent, yes.
As a parent, yeah. I did. And I went in there sometimes just to see what's going on. And my sister Faye often did that with her kids, too. My mom did that with us.
Yep, absolutely.
Your room is not some sort of protected space when you're a kid.
No. However, your home is protected space from the government.
Exactly.
Just as, I believe, our phone calls
exactly.
are.
And the reason I bring this up is, why should parents, you know, look to the police? We have no idea what's in Johnny's room. Could you please go and look?
Yeah. That really is bizarre.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. So
why there may be guns in our house? I don't know. How would I know? I just live here.
Yeah, exactly. Can you please go take care of this for me instead of, you know, exercising, you know, it's farming off parental responsibility.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave the door open so I don't even have to answer it anymore because I'm too busy watching the movie.
Yeah. Speaking of, by the way, getting back to the we'll just touch on this for a moment. The vaccination issue in Maryland. A judge there sent out notices to a number of parents, over 1,000 actually, in a school district whose children had not been vaccinated, or at least the school records did not indicate that the children had been vaccinated. It turned out that the school had actually lost some of the paperwork for some of the kids who had been vaccinated. But the letter the judge sent out said that if you don't bring your child to the courthouse on this Saturday morning and either produce proof that your child's been vaccinated or have your child vaccinated at the courthouse, you could be fined or spend up to 30 days in jail. Hello.
I know the reasoning on that, and I told you this. I saw an interview with the judge, and the judge said the parents are required to have their children in school. If you cannot have that child in school due to a vaccination problem, then you are breaking the law by not having your child in school. It's not the vaccination thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a requirement from the school.
Right.
But you are breaking the law by not having Johnny in school.
Yeah, and so this is Prince George's County in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, watch for this. Add to this, you know, factor into your little intelligence hopper here the charges filed against the daughter of Fred Phelps, that despicable man who leads the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas. The state of Nebraska is filing suit against Shirley Phelps Roper, his daughter, for child abuse and a couple of other charges for a protest that was at a soldier's funeral in Nebraska. The state of Nebraska charging a woman from Kansas with child abuse for allowing her 10-year-old son to take part in a protest and teaching him...
And step on the flag.
The U.S. flag. Basically, the contention of the state is that she's brainwashing the child, and that constitutes abuse. Again, a convenient test case for the government because her actions and the actions of her father, Fred Phelps, are so despicable and hate-filled, not Christian in any sense of the word, but...
Right.
Are we to be charged with child abuse if our teachings disagree with those of the state?
That is so huge to me for many reasons. I don't like that family. I mean, I don't know them personally, but everything I've read about that group is just, they do not represent true Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I hope you know that. If you're not a believer and you're listening to that, please don't judge us by that group. They are so hate-filled. What I find remarkable about this is not only will it test homeschoolers and parents who are homeschooling as to whether or not they can teach things that may not be state sanctioned, but it's a different state who's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, because normally education is watched over by the state.
Right.
What right does Nebraska have to say to Kansas how a parent teaches within that state?
Yeah, it's really a stretch, and it's going to be interesting to see how this legal test plays out.
Well, you know me. I personally think that the whole thing is – I got my hat on. You see it?
Uh-huh.
That the whole thing may be actually a setup.
Sort of like the Scopes monkey trial.
Well, Scopes Monkey Drill, but I'm even thinking Jim Jones, and I'm not saying that group is any kind of suicidal thing, but Jim Jones had CIA connections.
Yes.
And I'm wondering who, if anyone, within that organization, the Phelps organization, may actually have some sort of connection as well and is stirring the pot in order to get some legal precedent set.
Mm-hmm. A couple of other things I want to touch on very quickly is we thought we were going to have trouble filling an hour today.
I know.
We come close to the end of the hour. Wednesday this week, scientists claimed that they successfully cloned monkey embryos and extracted stem cells from them. This is a research group at the Oregon Health and Science University, Beaverton, Oregon. They extracted stem cells from cloned embryos from 8-year-old rhesus monkeys. But interestingly enough, the creator of Dolly the Sheep, Ian Wilmuth, said that he will not pursue the license he was granted by the UK to begin applying those techniques that created Dolly to human embryos, because a new technique developed in Japan will take adult stem cells and revert them to embryonic stem cell state. And he mm-hmm. believes that technique shows much more promise and, of course, doesn't have the ethical concerns.
Mm-hmm.
However, having said that, it appears that the government in the UK tomorrow, Monday the 20th, I believe, is prepared to vote on granting a license, Monday the 19th, is working on granting a license to researchers to create embryos from three parents.
Mm-hmm.
Three parents. A woman's DNA, a man's DNA, and then the mitochondrial DNA from another woman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you have to have mitochondrial DNA.
Right.
That's human.
Yes.
You can't just stick it in a cow egg and
right.
call it good.
So this is very interesting, because one of the puzzles that we've always wondered about the Epic of Gilgamesh is how he could claim to be two-thirds God, one-third human.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, everything old is new again.
I know. Well, we wanted to talk to Tom Horn about that story, but he's doing other things down in southwestern Missouri, and we're going to leave him behind, heading over to Indiana. We're going to have to pull Tom over there, too.
That's right. Well, we will talk to Tom about this, because this is huge.
Yeah.
And he is one of the leading researchers on, in terms of the news and developments in this particular field. He's ahead of the curve in predicting where it was going.
He is, and I so respect Tom Horn for many, many reasons. I mean, he's got the chops when it comes to really getting in there and studying the word, because he was a pastor for mm-hmm. years. He's been in this for a long, long time. He has connections all over the world. He focuses his energies very succinctly and very sparingly toward those things that he feels he has a calling to preach about, and transhumanism is one of them. My calling is different. My calling is look at everything, try to find connections. Literally, that's mm-hmm. why I had the site for a while that was called Connecting the Dots, because that's what I feel like is my calling, is to try to say this event over here and this event over here that seem like they are not connected at all, they are, and here's how. I love talking to Tom, because he just clarifies things for me all the time.
Right.
And we really are running out of time. Good heavens, where did it go?
It really went quickly. Well, speaking of peeringintodarkness.com, make sure you check that out. Now, there may be some days in the next few weeks where it won't be updated as frequently as we'd like.
It's going to be pretty sporadic for a couple of reasons. November is here. I'm still trying to do National Novel Writing Month, and I'm way behind on it. But we're also going to be packing up this week. We're planning right now Monday the 26th to drive to Indiana. Mm-hmm. We're making our move and becoming Hoosiers on that day. If you live in Indiana, wave to us.
Yes.
We'll let you know what route if you send us an email. So we've got lots of things to do, but we just want to thank the Lord, because he is taking us back there. This is his timing. I know that we've talked about it before, but you know, it's happening now for his reasons. But more than that, he's working it out in some of the coolest ways to get us back there with the least amount of stress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we're really looking forward to that, and being close to family and able to help and support relatives there. And I know we'll be leaning on them as well in the weeks and months ahead.
For those who don't know, Derek is no longer at the radio station. He did turn in his resignation, because we are moving to Indiana. Mm-hmm. So he had his last day there last week, and he's been at home with me for the last few days, and I'm loving every minute of it. But it helps. Again, that goes to that least stress thing, because he'll be here this week to help pack.
In the meanwhile, if you've got any questions or comments, well, first of all, show notes and links to the articles we talked about tonight will be at pidradio.com, as always, and you'll be able to download the the show if you want to, the MP3 for, you know, to collect and trade with your friends. It's
has no legal tender. Get it? No, it's
that's
not.
Right. We're on the MP3 standard. So if you've got an email question for either one of us, it's Derek@peeringintodarkness.com or Sharon@peeringintodarkness.com.
As we say, things will be sporadic. We may or may not have a show up next week. Please forgive us for that. We will do our very best. We don't know what kind of internet connection we're going to have over there, but we'll be back as soon as we can. So if we disappear for a short while, just send us an email. We'll pick it up when we can.
Till then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.